Oh, yep, that's good. Nice and loud. Okay, well, this is our first meeting and the first sermon in a night service in our new auditorium. Lots of new things, new beginnings, brand new year, brand new beginnings for us as a church. And I thought it'd be great to look at a brand new beginning in the life of someone called Abraham. So I'm going to pray first and we'll be looking at, I'm going to actually do a series on Abraham's life. So just thought it'd be nice to do that. I haven't done a character study for a long time. We're not really studying the character, it's really the God of the person. All right, let's pray. Our Father, thank you so much for all your word, every bit of it. And thank you that we can look into the Old Testament now and look at the life of Abraham and see your incredible hand on his life. And thank you for the beautiful new beginning that he had. And I just thank you for what we're going to look at. I pray that the words that we look at tonight would really bless us and encourage us. So just pray that you would help us. And thank you for each one here tonight. And we ask that you would minister to us by your Spirit. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so most of you will have heard of Abraham. His name, by the way, when we look at Genesis 12, is Abram, because he had a name change. Abram means exalted father, and Abraham means father of many nations. So we're going to be looking at Abraham. And are you aware that he had a beginning, a new beginning in his life one time? Genesis 12 is where you read about Abraham and this new beginning. But I want to tie it in with us. What about us? Have we had a new beginning? Well, you could say, yeah, we have a new beginning when we come into a new year. But there's a bigger new beginning than that. If you have given your life to Jesus, like Isaac this afternoon, he has just had a new beginning, really and truly. He now has God's Holy Spirit in him to help him and to change his life for the better after being in such a hole. Isn't that amazing? And I hope you all have experienced that because it's so wonderful to have a new beginning. So that new beginning, I reckon, is captured well in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 17, that says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. What verse is that one? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. That's a great verse. But as a Christian, what's a Christian life look like? Pretty much like a roller coaster, sadly. Oh man, what is it with us? Going good, and we go down and up and down. So pretty much in a Christian's life, we have lots of new beginnings because of how things can happen to us. And we lose the plot and we lose our way. But God is always faithful. He's always there to pick us up and we have a new start, a restart. Don't you love that? I do. I really appreciate the Lord giving me a restart. And in fact, you know what? We really have a restart every day. Ever thought of that? We have a new beginning every day. This is a brand new day. And I've started to think more and more like that. And so what I'm going to quote to you is from Lamentations chapter 3. And there's a great section there where the prophet Jeremiah, got to read Jeremiah. Jeremiah is so good. Jeremiah, he wrote Jeremiah. He also wrote Lamentations. Well, God's Spirit through him. And in Lamentations chapter 3, 22 and 23, this is after Jerusalem is destroyed. Jeremiah is beside himself, and then he starts to think. And he goes, the Lord's loving kindnesses never cease. His mercies never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. That's it, I reckon. See, we have a brand new start, a new beginning every day, because the Lord's mercies are new every morning. New every morning. Fresh. Every morning, great is his faithfulness. So why don't you get into thinking of like this? You've got a new beginning every day. Tomorrow morning is a brand new day and a new beginning. I reckon that's good. But now we are going to look at Abraham's big new beginning. And to do that, we go to Genesis chapter 12. I've just been reading through all these chapters recently because I try. This is not for you to have to do, but I love to read the Bible through in a year, so guess where I am now? In Genesis. And just as I was reading through the story of Abraham, I thought, oh, it'd be so nice to do some sermons on this man's life. Okay, so Genesis chapter 12, We're going to start off. I'm going to read verse 1. And verse 1 says, "Now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you." All right, there it is. So he is living in Haran, which is like up in Turkey area, not far from the Syrian border. He's a long way from where God is going to call him to. And so so this is pretty amazing. He gets this call from God to actually leave. I'll read that again. "Go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you." I worked it out. It's about 800 kilometres. Bit of a journey. What do you reckon? And he's going with possessions and with servants. He's going with a group. And he's a long way to go. 800 kilometres back then. No planes. No cars. Nothing. But walking. Hopefully with some animals to help you. So that was God's call on his life. So pretty big call. Pretty massive, I reckon. And let me just go back a little bit to now Genesis chapter 11, verse 31, because there's actually two parts to this story. In Genesis 11, 31, we read, "Terah," that's the father of Abram, "Terah took Abram his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his grandson, and Sarai, the daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went out together from Ur of the Chaldeans in order to enter the land of Canaan. And they went as far as Haran and settled there." So Terah, Abram's father, always wanted to go to the land of Canaan. And so it's like a bit of a dog's leg. You've got to go up and then you come down, all right? Because you can't just go across. It's real desert. So from Ur of Chaldees to Haran, only about 1,000 kilometres. So they get to Haran on the way to the land of Canaan, which is Israel. And they don't get there. Somehow they stop and they settle in Haran. And so that, I just want to get the full picture. So that's where they go. And then something happens. I'm going to read verse 32 of Genesis 11. "The days of Terah were 205 years. Man, they lived big ages then. And it says, and then Terah died in Haran. So it's often, I want to show you this, often this call that God gives to Abraham, often we also can have calls on our life by God during some crises or big events. There's a big event here. Abraham lost his dad. And so God now calls him to go to the land of Canaan, which is Israel. So first of all, 1,000 k's from Ur of Chaldees to Haran, meant to keep going, but they didn't. Terah dies, his dad, and now God calls him. Now this is really special. It's not just making up plans. Now God is calling Abram to the land of Canaan. 800 kilometre journey there. So what do you reckon about a journey like that, eh? Can you imagine how difficult it would have been as Abram heard God's call on his life? Like he's leaving relatives. He's leaving, grieving over his dad's passing. He's leaving with all these possessions and servants and like, man, that's just a nightmare thinking of how we're going to get down there. We're going into a foreign land. What's going to happen there? How will you feel? No, I didn't hear really from God, did you? You might be making excuses up. But that's how we can be. But Abram really experienced God's call on his life. And so that's what happened. And so we're going to read later on how he went. Now, I just want to link it to us. What about God's call on your life? I want to use the word massive. The call on Abram's life is massive. The call on our life, massive or not? Massive. Haven't you taken those words to heart? Let me read to you what Jesus said. Now I'm talking about the call of Jesus so that we get saved. Matthew 16. 24 and 25. "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake shall find it." That's massive, right? Right, coming to Jesus is not just simple. It is simple, but it also costly. We are to give our life to Jesus. It's massive. Pretty massive, right? Surely you know all this, and you also know too that being in the camp of Jesus is not very cool in our world. And that's massive as well. Jesus made that clear in John chapter 15, verse 19. If you're of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Oh, it's got the word hate. I'm not just, you know, tolerated. I'm hated. That's massive cost as well. Everyone likes to just be loved by everybody and everything is nice. So to be a follower of Jesus in our secular world isn't cool. It's massive, right? I'm just what I'm telling you. Just as it was for Abram. Another one I'm going to throw in is when it comes to Jesus, following Jesus, that ain't easy either. And I reckon Jesus had it pretty well. Of course he did. In Matthew chapter 7, where I read in verses 13 and 14, Jesus said, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and many are those who enter by it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and few are those who find it." So what do you think about that? A few things mentioned here. The way is narrow versus broad. What does that indicate to you? Difficult. It's narrow. It's difficult. Not only that, it's got this word few. Many are on the broad road, that is the easy road. But you lot who are on the narrow road, there's only a few of you. And so when you think about these things personally, as a Christian, personally, even though there's so many blessings being a Christian, it's challenging, it's massive to become a Christian. Yeah. And God calls us to himself, calls us to be a follower of Jesus. Big, big indeed. But let's now keep looking. I'm going to read Genesis 12, 1 again and into verse 3. And let's have a look at something else. What motivates anybody to follow God's call? Well, it's something, it's a beautiful word in the Hebrew, hesed. It's the word blessing. God's got blessings for you. Alright, let's see this in the story of Abram. Genesis 12, 1 and 3. "Now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great. And so you shall be a blessing. And I'll bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed." Hear the word blessing? Right, God calls us, and because of God's incredible heart, because of his grace and mercy, because he loves to give, he's the greatest giver of all, if we follow his call, he will bless. So what kind of blessings was Abram going to have? Well, in verse 2 it tells you, "I'll make you a great nation." And Israel did become a great nation. And "I'll make your name great." Everybody's heard of Abraham, haven't they? That's testimony to that. God surely did that. And it just keeps going, blessing. "I'm going to bless you, I'm going to bless you." And even this, "I'll bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you." What does that mean? That means pretty much Abraham is like the apple of God's eye. Like, that's how it's going to be, mate. I'm going to really look after you. Anyone who goes against you, they're going to get you in trouble. That's a real blessing, isn't it? But what about verse 3? The end of verse 3. It says, "And in you all the families of the earth will be blessed." Do you know who that's speaking about? His name starts with J. Jesus. So that's right. Jesus came from Abraham. Or Abram. And Abraham, through his descendancy, there would one arise who would be the cause for blessing all people groups. And it's not like everybody is blessed in the whole world right now, because most people don't follow Jesus, but everybody in the whole world can be blessed by Jesus because he came for all people groups. Remember that great section in Revelation 5 verse 9, how Jesus purchased with his blood men and women from every tribe, and tongue, and people, and nation. He's come to bless all if we are willing to listen to his call and come to him. In fact, you know, when I look at Abraham's blessings, let me throw this in. Abraham, blessed or not? Yeah, blessed. Pretty blessed, right? Massive blessings. Do you know in Christ you are more blessed than Abraham? There's one verse I'm going to quote you. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3. We did our series in Ephesians last year. And Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3 says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. So what the Holy Spirit is saying through the Apostle Paul is there is not anything more that God could bless you with. You have everything. And that includes everything you need here on earth, even though we're in a war zone. And everything beyond, the inheritance is beyond compare. You as a child of God will be higher than the angels. You'll be ruling with Christ. You have no idea how blessed you are in Christ. So I love these parallels. Abram's called and blessed if he follows that call. And we are called and we are blessed beyond measure when we honour that call and obey that call that Christ has given us. I love how there's parallels. Yeah. All right. Okay, so where am I up to? Oh, here we are. Nearly lost my place. That's okay. All right, so now we're going to read the next part. We're going to see what Abram does. I'm going to be oscillating between Abraham and Abram. I know I should be using Abram. That's his name right now in the passage, but I keep saying Abraham as well. The name change. Oh, I get messed up when it comes to the two prophets, Elijah and Elisha. Oh, man. The names are too close. And we had a family in our church who had one son named Elijah and the other son Elisha. Oh, did you? Wow. Yeah, great. Okay, let's look at the next section. We're going to read Genesis 12, 4 to 6. So Abram went forth as the Lord had spoken to him. Oh, I just got to stop there. He went forth. How good is that? He obeyed. He obeyed. Don't forget how tough it was. A massive change. Big journey. A lot of things happening. Going into a foreign land. But he obeyed. So Abram went forth as the Lord had spoken to him. And Lot went with him. Now Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Man, that's not even a spring chicken. Like, gee, that's a big change for the 75-year-old. Yeah. What do you reckon? Verse 5. Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his nephew, and all their possessions, which they had accumulated, and the persons which they had acquired in Haran. And they set out for the land of Canaan. Thus they came to the land of Canaan, which, of course, is Israel. And Abram passed through the land as far as the site of Shechem to the oak of Moreh. Now the Canaanite was then in the land. All right, so you know, big journey. How many kilometres was it again? 800 kilometres. You see how there's quite a contingent. There's Abram's wife Sarai. There's Lot. There's servants. There's possessions. There's cattle. He's into that sort of thing. So there's animals to drive and bring safely and all that sort of stuff. Leaving familiar land, a homeland, and going into a foreign land. So, pretty full on. But he obeys. Why would you obey? Because God called him. That's the number one reason. But there's another reason why he obeyed. Because of the blessings? Yeah. But there's something else I want to share with you. I reckon Abraham obeyed God's call. Because at this time in his life, and right through this time in his life, he trusted God. He trusted God's word, and he trusted God's character. And when you can trust the Lord, you will obey his call. When you don't trust him, you will try and weasel your way out of it. You will. Even to this guy, you know, this guy Isaac, it's amazing what happened this afternoon. I could see him warming to Jesus and willing to come to Christ as I try to pick up on what's going on in his life, as I began to try and put to death all his fears and worries. And when I look at it now, I'm just thinking of it now, I wanted to relieve any fear of rejection by Jesus, that he could trust Jesus, that Jesus is the lover of our soul. And he would welcome him no matter what. He talked about this wardrobe full of the most ugliest things. It's okay. Jesus will just take that and bury it. And it's just so important that we realize that we need to trust the Lord. We need to trust his word. He's going to look after us. And we need to trust his character. And I reckon Abram, he understood that. And how do I know that? Because in the book of Hebrews, in the faith chapter, Abram is mentioned. But there it's, he's called Abraham. Confuses you, right? Abraham and Abram. So let me read to you Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. He went out not knowing where he was going. So what led him to do it? It says by faith. Faith is another word for trust. Because of his trust in the Lord, he obeyed, he went. It's so key. And so that's how it is with us too. You know, we're not going to be following God, not only listening to Christ call on our life to be saved, but as a Christian, when God calls us to do things, we're not going to be very good at it unless we trust the Lord and know that we're in good hands. And one of the verses in Hebrews chapter 11 that I really appreciate is that one, Hebrews 11 verse 6, where it says, "And without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him." Isn't that a great verse? By faith, we are to believe he's there, and we need to believe in God's good character, that he rewards and blesses those who listen to him and obey him. Yeah, so I reckon that's pretty special. And now when Abraham arrived in Canaan, he found the land occupied by Canaanites. Did you notice that? That's in Genesis 12, verse 8. Verse 6. Abraham passed through the land as far as the site of Shechem to the oak of Moreh. Now the Canaanite was then in the land. Do you know who the Canaanites were? Yep, pagans. They were into worshipping idols, sacrificing their children. They were into bad stuff, you know, witchcraft, sorcery, all that kind of stuff. And Abram's obeyed God's call and has come into this area, this land full of these people. You'd probably be thinking, I must have got it wrong. But no, he didn't. But don't forget, he would have reminded himself of what? What would you remind yourself of? God has called me here. God's going to look after me. He's going to protect me. He's going to keep me. What's he doing? He's trusting in the Lord's word and the Lord's character. That's what you've got to do. So no matter how rocky life gets, I'm mentioning these two separate things, the Lord's word and the Lord's character. You can trust it. Trust him and trust his word. So that's what we've got to do. Okay, so, and pretty much I can relate to Abram, can you? Man, this is hostile territory right here. Called earth. You know, in heaven, that's a place to relax and rest and enjoy and praise the Lord and be blessed beyond measure. Here on earth, we've been told this, it's pretty full on. So you need to trust the Lord's word. He will never leave you. He will help you, and you need to trust the Lord's character. He really is a lover of your soul. Okay, now we're going to just look at the last two verses. So I'm going to read verses 7 and 8. Alright. "So the Lord appeared to Abram and said, 'To your descendants, I will give this land.'" Oh, this is the first time Abram hears this. This wasn't part of the call. So now this is the very first time that in obeying the Lord, he gets to see something pretty special. You're going to have this land. What kind of land is this land? Do you remember how it's described in the Bible? There's two things. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. What's that mean? It's really good. And also, it's the center of the earth. In God's view of the world, the Middle East, Israel, is the center of the earth. That's why he had all these things happening there. Jesus dying there and rising again. We might think Australia is the centre of the earth. Well, you're wrong. It's a good part to be in. But no, that's it. The Middle East, right there, middle. It's the centre of the earth. And so this was going to be the land that was going to be given to Abram and his descendants. And how did Abram hear this? By obeying the Lord. So you could think about this. If he hadn't listened to God, he would have missed out big time. That's the lesson there. Listen to the Lord, obey him. Okay, better get back to what I was reading. "Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, 'To your descendants I will give this land.' So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him." That's a response, isn't it? when you build an altar back in the Old Testament, what's that about? It's about worship. You're going to build an altar and sacrifice to the Lord. That's a way of worshiping the Lord. So Abram responds to God, and he wants to worship the Lord. And then if I keep reading, it says, where am I up to? Verse 8. Then he proceeded from there to the mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord, another one. And he called upon the name of the Lord. Wow. So he built another altar and worshipped the Lord again. So, and he even called on the Lord's name. There you go. Right, so now as I wrap this up, I want to just show you something really, really special. I love how as I read through all these things, first of all, let me make the point to parallel with us. The thing is the first thing I want to say is, when you listen to God's call, when you obey Him, God so often, if not all the time, affirms you. So you see how Abraham, God speaks to Abraham in this new land and affirms to him a beautiful promise, this land will be yours. And I often find that in my own life, God will, if I'm obedient to God, He affirms it. Even this building that came, I just remember the affirmations that God will give. And He does it all sorts of ways, through the Bible, through prayer, through people, He affirms. And that's how you know you're on the right track. Alright, because I need that. Do you need that? I just need to know, Lord, is this the right way? So that's what the Lord does. I reckon Abraham would have felt so affirmed that he's on the right path. He's got the blessing of God on him. And then what is our response? I normally just get blown away. Lord, thank you so much for helping me know this is where I'm meant to be. And I can't help but, like Abraham, don't build an altar, but I want to worship the Lord and thank Him. Yeah. So that's what he did, and he did it twice, it says here. So I want to just wrap it up by saying, as I look at this first 8 verses of Genesis 12, new beginnings, what a great beginning for Abram. Do you see a little bit of a pattern here? Any pattern here? This pattern. God calls, and by faith we obey. And as we obey, God blesses us, and we want to worship Him. Oh, and it just keeps going, this beautiful cycle. God calls again. As a Christian, we're not just called once. We're called to be saved, and then we're called to do other things. To talk to this person. I felt a calling today to go to see Isaac. And as you have that call, you then, by faith, obey. God blesses. And then what do? You want to just worship. You've got to get into this pattern. This is the greatest cycle of all. Calling, obeying, getting blessed, and worshipping. And just keeps going on and on. Here it is. Genesis 12, 1-8. It's something for all people to appreciate and experience. Just got to be in that place to hear God. Hear God's call. Really trust Him and obey, even if it's tough. And to know His blessings. Be sensitive of His blessings. And be filled with worship and praise of Him. New beginnings can be every day, even tomorrow. All right, that's it. So I'm going to close in prayer. I don't know if anyone would like to share anything. I've got this mic here. Those three guys seem so far away. G'day, guys. All right, I'm going to pray. Dear Father, thank you for I love the Old Testament. I love how it has such beautiful pictures here. Even Abram, thank you for this incredible calling in his life, the one that through whom Jesus would come. And we thank you for this lovely pattern that we see also in Abram's life of having you call us and having the faith to obey you and to be blessed by you, and our response is to worship you. And I ask for all of us this year that we would have many of these cycles in our life, even every day, and that we might get into a really good walk with you. I thank you earlier on, we were talking about prayer and reading the Bible. I ask that we would have a really good reset in our life, and that, Lord, this year would be a year where our life counts for you, where you are glorified through our life, and where we are giving ourselves fully to you. I'm sorry, Lord, for the times we hold back and we and we're just doing our own thing and getting caught up in this world. And after all that you've done for us, how sad that we behave like that. But thank you for your incredible mercy. Thank you that your mercy is new every morning and your faithfulness to us is incredibly great. Thank you that there is no one like you. So help us, Lord, to trust you well and to listen to you and follow you in our life. Thank you for tonight, for these great things that we've looked at. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.